Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tell you, Carver. Hi. As you know, I was ruffled over the stories at Northwestern last week, and I don't know how many times I said it. I think that Schill and Gregg should be fired. I thought the president of the university handled that entire escapade horrifically from the beginning. He hired an expensive law firm to investigate the program and found unequivocal hazing problems in the football program, but couldn't, in terms of the investigation, they couldn't prove that Fitzgerald knew of it or his coaches. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I don't think a jury will believe that for 1 minute. I also believe that Gregg, the AD, should go because he was the one that, he's the one that hired the baseball coach that was a bully. He was the guy that was running the football program the whole time that it was happening. Most of the players in the student newspaper story said that they all knew, the coaches all knew of the running tradition, which is the hazing in the locker room. So they all knew of it. You remember the story? Part of it was the coaches were clapping whenever they wanted someone on the list. So don't tell me those coaches didn't know it was going on. I don't want to hear it. And then the president, to see him get schooled like that by a bunch of student reporters at the student newspaper is all you need to know that he's a moron. He's a guy in a job making all kinds of money that shouldn't have the job. That's all you need to know right there, that a bunch of kids took him to the cleaners. And the AD that oversaw the entire thing, because, you know, the reality of it is, Mike, the president of a major university like Northwestern, which is a great higher education school, he doesn't have time to sit around worrying about the athletic program that they don't care about to begin with. They've always had athletics at Northwestern, but frankly, they've never mattered. The education there mattered. My mom went to graduate school at Northwestern. It is as good as it gets. It's, you know, Ivy League, Stanford, Cal Berkeley, Northwestern is right there with all the heavies, right? So I hope that this kid wins the lawsuit. My problem with him is, what lawyer in their right mind convinced that kid to sue him for $50,000? He should have sued him for $50 million so that he can win something, and 50 grand won't even pay the lawyer, okay? So I don't understand the pricing of what they're suing him for. I think all of them, well, we already know Fitzgerald's finished. He's going to sue them for his $57 million. I hope he loses. And I think Schill and Gregg should be fired. I'll say it over and over. All of them deserve to be fired for what went on. Sexually abusing freshmen and sophomore players. Racism. Now, you know the funny thing? I just want to add this salt to the wound. How about this guy, Ferentz, at Iowa? Remember, they're running a racist program there for years, and nothing happened to him. The guy never got fired or anything else. Nowadays, you know, whatever, 3 years later, you mention racism, you're fired so fast your head spins. But nothing happened to that guy that was running that shop of horrors in Iowa City. Remember, he's still there. Nothing happened to him. I mean, the strength coach got fired. That's akin to the Yankees firing their hitting coach with all their problems. Let's fire the hitting coach. Like, let's fire the strength coach for all of our racist problems in the program. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up, Carl.
You can't make it up. We welcome in our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday, Sirius XM 159 and Sports Byline. I think this thing for me still, with all this, and I'm sure it will eventually come out, whether it's when Fitzgerald sues them for his money or whatever, I still want to know if when they did their six-month investigation and they released, you know, their findings and their sanctions two Fridays ago, whatever it was, did they know Fitzgerald was involved and bury it because they like Fitzgerald? Or was the investigation that inept that it then took the student newspaper 3 days to do what the investigation couldn't do for 6 months? So that's the thing for me that I... Did they try to bury this?
Candy ass.
Did they try to bury it?
The investigation was candy ass. It was vanilla. It was all a cover-up to just make this go away. We're going to suspend it for two weeks without pay, and we're going to do it on July 4th so that no one notices that we're covering up a crime.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't understand. I haven't really read the thing today with the kid and suing him. That sounds pretty silly. $50,000. You got to have some bigger numbers behind those.
Way bigger. Add a zero.
You got to go.
I mean, if you're gonna go 50, you might as well go 500,000, 5 million.
Right.
What are you doing?
Add a zero.
$50,000. It's not worth your time.
I haven't read about it, so I'm not sure exactly what was going on with that. That's for sure. We'll come back and then we'll finish off last night, including the Rangers winning on a wild pitch. And Fairbanks.
That's true.
Now,
we welcome our radio affiliates. If you have already said that, it's my fault. But here's the deal. Did you see that guy last night saying people in the crowd told him to drink bleach?
We're going to hear him talk about it when we come back. We're going to hear from Rays closer Peter Fairbanks about what the crowd told him to do last night after the wild pitch, or before, whatever it was. We'll do that when we come back.
He said, I'm trying to text my wife. I got some guy telling me to drink bleach and die.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I got that Rays game wrong last night, and I told you that it was a dangerous bet and it wasn't going to be easy and that they'll probably lose to the Rangers, and they did, but they should have won the game. They had the game won, and they blew it.
They certainly did blow it. A late homer by Ezekiel Duran got the Rangers even, and then a walk-off wild pitch courtesy of Rays closer Peter Fairbanks on Bally Sports Southwest.
The 1-1. That one gets away. Here comes Smith. He'll score. And the Rangers will take the opener from Tampa Bay.
Well, you just never know what can happen in the game of baseball. Every time you move up 90 feet, something good can happen. And I know Nathaniel Lowe probably said, just a ground ball to the right side, but it moves Smith over to third. And the Rangers get a break here on a wild pitch from Fairbanks for the walk-off.
Well, what did he say? They were giving him the business, fans. What happened?
Here's Fairbanks afterwards. One of the stranger post-game interviews, you'll see. Here's Peter Fairbanks.
Take us through that fastball that looked like it was yanked a little bit. What happened there, and what'd you feel?
It was yanked. It felt like it came out of my hand real hot, and unfortunately real not near the strike zone. Yeah, tough way to lose. Tough way to, you know, to try and skirt the danger and put yourself in a spot to escape and then try and do too much and have it in like that. I'm still having a better night than the guy who told me he wouldn't bat an eye if I drank some bleach, so that's good. But yeah, you know, just another day in the life of being on the losing end of the bullpen.
Was that while you were warming up, or was that
after
the game?
No, that was after. Yeah, that was when I tried to, you know, look at the text from my wife. But hey, good for him.
That is just fantastic. That was the best interview we've run on this show in months. That was so great. Like, he's like, talking about giving up that homer, he was like, oh, it just came out of my hand, and he knew, and he yanked it all right. That was great. To hear a guy just tell it like it is, and then fans telling him to drink bleach. I mean, that is crazy. So I like that guy. Let's give him some love on C2C. By the way,
yes.
Your boy, yes. Chapman, blew my mind last night. He threw two pitches 102 miles an hour in that ninth inning. He struck, or what did he? He went 1-2-3 in the ninth and was throwing 102. What is the deal with him? That guy hasn't thrown 102 miles an hour in 5 years.
Yeah, you know, he's probably back on the gas.
I don't know. On the premium.
Back on the gas. That's it. Cardinals beat the Marlins 6-4. Nolan Arenado, the two-run double on Valley Sports Midwest.
We'll never trade him.
Whoa. Smoke to right center. Oh. That's down. That'll score one. Goldie around second. On his way to third. He's got the green light. He's going to score. Arenado with a double and a four RBI night.
I got to be honest. It makes my summer, at least, that if I'm going to suffer through the Yankees, at least the Cardinals suck. You know what I mean? Like, all they do is win. So the fact that they suck is just, I mean, it's just, for me, it's a nice elixir.
It is a nice elixir, that's for sure. It was not a great debut for Pirates starter Quinn Priester last night at PNC. Started out okay, but.
Right, the first inning, he was awesome.
First inning, he was awesome, but things got a little rough in the sixth. Andres Jimenez, the two-run homer on Valley Sports Cleveland.
Ugh.
Drill deep right field. Go ball. Gone. A home run. Andres Jimenez. Home run number 8, and the Guardians have exploded for 4 in the sixth.
Honestly, I just wanted to puke. But the kid struck out the side in the first, and he was throwing gas. He threw 9 pitches, 7 strikes, went right through it. When they went to the second time around the order, they figured him out in 5 seconds. And then that Andy Rodriguez caught, first time that a battery mate, both had been born after 2000, in the same game in Major League history, so that was kind of weird. But they got all the young kids up now, the Pirates, and losing 11-0, I mean, that was like getting kicked in the teeth.
And they signed the kid today as well, the top pick from LSU, the kid we talked about last week, Skines. They signed him, so he is now, they have a big press conference with him this afternoon over there in Pittsburgh.
Good.
So they've got him in the fold, and that's a good thing, because like you said, the faster you get him signed, the faster he'll be on the mound at some point for the Pirates. That's as fast as it, you know, that's what you need. You need to get him cooking. Nationals beat the Cubs 7-5. Tigers beat the Royals 3-2. They were down 2-0 in the eighth. Matt Vierling, the go-ahead double in the eighth on Bally Sports Detroit.
I needed that.
To right field and down. Green will score. Here comes Torkelson. Carpenter on his way to third. Vierling with a two-run double to give the Tigers a lead.
Yeah, I hit that bet, and I hit that Dodgers O's over, and I hit the Angels, so I needed that Detroit win. Otherwise, it could have been a bad night.
Detroit now, and look, I don't think they're winning the Central. They're 4 games back in the loss from Minnesota. 4 games back in the loss column. They're not.
Why not? Listen,
they're in it.
The Twins don't beat good teams. They beat bad teams. That's it.
Yep, that's it. So just keep an eye on that. They're hanging around. Like, they've been like 4 or 5 games back for like a month and a half now. If they can never have a good week, like maybe this week when they play Kansas City, they can maybe cut into it a little bit. The Reds and the Giants are suspended in the eighth, tied at 2. That's going to start in about an hour, maybe just over an hour from now. They'll pick that back up. The Giants have 2 on. They're in the eighth inning. So we'll see if they can get those home, and then they will play tonight's regularly scheduled game right after that, which we'll discuss in a moment. We mentioned the Yankees interested in Dylan Carlson. I mean, get lost. Like, honestly. Take a walk.
How embarrassing
Dylan,
is that?
Dylan Carlson. Like, please.
Bob Dylan. I'd rather have.
Get out of here. All right, let's get to tonight. We'll start these, and then we'll finish them after you talk to Davis. The Brewers, after the big weekend against the Reds, are in Philadelphia against the Phillies. Two teams playing some really good ball. Julio Teheran and Aaron Nola are your starters. How about this lump? -210 for the Phillies tonight. +170 for the Brewers. 9.5 the total. Whoa.
Listen, I bet the Brewers for principal alone. They're in first place. They're playing really good. They're winning. They're scoring runs. And Teheran has not pitched badly at all. He's got a lower ERA than the guy he's going up against tonight. I know that much. In Nola.
Aaron Nola.
I'll give him this. Nola's good. He's not great. He's good. Okay? So I took him. I got him at 180 plus $1.80 this morning. I figured, why the F not? I'm going to lay a piece down on the Brewers. They're a first-place team, and they're getting absolutely urinated on by a dog. I mean, I don't understand that price.
I'm very surprised at how big that is. Over 2 bills was pretty stunning to me for that game, considering how the Brewers are playing. So there you go. Let's do the rest later on. Of course, we have Dodgers and Orioles tonight. The Padres are in Toronto against the Blue Jays. We got the Mets and the White Sox at City. Anaheim again. Helen Keller against the Guardians and Logan Allen out at PNC. So we got a couple of opportunities. We'll talk to them afterwards. Just so you know, Rory going to play with Rahm and Justin Rose. That is his pairing for Thursday and Friday. That coming up this week at the Open. They just put the pairings and the groups out, Scotty, for Thursday and Friday.
So let's go. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing about how it's eluding him, that fifth major. Go out and win the Open after you won the Scottish. Go get it done, Rory.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM.
And by the BetMGM Swing for the Fences deal. How do you get it? Get onto your app, the BetMGM app on iOS or Android. Play the MLB free-to-play game now till September 7th. Be a batter, pick an area of the strike zone. Single, double, triple, home run, or pop out. Receive the prize associated with that type of hit. Play it once a day. Prizing must be used on MLB, and it expires in 24 hours. Davis Lee Roth Maddock joins us again for Fantasy Sports Today. You can catch it Saturdays at 8 a.m. with Scoop Mish on Sports Grid TV and Sirius 159. Well, you were right about the Dodgers. Taylor comes up big with that grand slam. I got to tell you, Davis, when I was watching that game last night, I said to Mike earlier, I felt like I was watching the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, these are big games that are being played right now. I mean, the Orioles are set up better than basically anyone else in baseball to make one or two, I mean, probably two big moves at the deadline. And I mean, it's not as if they're they probably don't even need to add any bats, really, the way that it's set up right now. Like, who would you even want to take out of the Baltimore Orioles lineup? I'm not even really sure if there is anyone. I mean, maybe if you were really getting nitpicky, you would. I'm well. Hicks would be the guy that you would take out, but they have his replacement already on the roster. But they definitely, I mean, are going to add a pitcher. And at this point, just almost makes too much sense for them to get one of these Cardinals pitchers that we crapped all over yesterday. There was another anonymous report. The Athletic reported last night that the Cardinals are looking, aggressively looking to sell, and it's all about selling pitching. So I guess that means Jack Flaherty or Jordan Montgomery is probably going to be a Baltimore Oriole. And then as for the Dodgers, I mean, they've been getting by hook or by crook with sort of the bottom half of their order, and it feels like they're finally getting healthy and settling into an order. It's not changing every single night. And I mean, do they even need a pitcher? Like, I'm not even certain if they need a pitcher right now.
So I want to talk about Pivetta and his 13 strikeouts last night and six hitless innings of relief. And it hasn't happened, but six times, I think, in baseball since 1901, that a guy struck out that many in a relief appearance. And do you think that Alex Cora, in the middle of August, when they have 16 straight games without a day off, that they're going to have to move him back to the rotation after they moved him down in May?
I mean, it felt like a very good decision to move him into the bullpen, considering that he has always been one of those guys who's done better with max effort. And I mean, Nick Pivetta has gone through stretches where it seemed like he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Sort of like a mid fours ERA guy earlier in his career. He was way worse than that. He was like a mid fives ERA guy for the first 3 years of his career. But I sort of like the idea of moving a guy who maybe only has two really good Major League Baseball pitches into the bullpen, because you're going to get a little bit of what happened with him last night. I guess, you know, they got Bello, Crawford, and Paxton. We'll see when they get Whitlock and Houck back. You know, maybe they get Kluber back. Like, maybe it ends up being okay, but you're right. 16 straight games, you would have to think either he's going to be moved back in the rotation or they're going to have him, you know, sort of be a nominal opener, throwing like four innings twice a week or something like that.
Don't you think they smell blood with the Yankees problems and the fact that all they do is lose, and the Red Sox have won like 8 of 9 and they just keep winning? You know they're going to pass the Yankees and be in a better position for the rest of the season than New York. And I got to tell you, the names that they're talking about, and don't get me started. I don't want to get started on the Yankees. I'm just saying, like, Dylan Carlson, that's their idea of fixing. This is as bad as that they think Sean Casey's the reason they'll win the World Series. I mean, what is next?
I mean, you know, you never know who's going to be the guy who provides the spark. I mean, for example, the guy who basically provided the spark for the Kansas City Royals as a reliever, Brandon Finnegan, he went on to have like the most anonymous Major League Baseball career ever. But that being said, Boston, I think, should be pretty encouraged. They're only a game and a half back of Houston. They are three games behind Toronto in terms of locking up the wild card. Now, I mean, no chance any of these teams. I mean, I guess Baltimore could maybe catch the Rays. The Rays are coming back more towards the pack. But Boston, to me, does have some holes in their lineup. I mean, second base and shortstop, they've gotten nothing out of any of the guys who play those positions all year. I mean, even getting a different right-handed outfield than Robert Refsnyder, I think, would probably be a good idea for them. So there are some moves around the edges the Boston Red Sox can make at the trade deadline that would definitely make them a more complete team.
So we were talking about Adolis Chapman pitching 102 miles an hour last night in the ninth inning of that game against the Rays at Globe. And I said he hasn't thrown 102 miles an hour in 5 years. He threw two pitches 102 miles an hour in that ninth inning when he shut him down. And he's not even their closer. And Carver High said he's on the gas. And I said I wouldn't put it past him, because when he left the Yankees, he had nothing left. When he was in Kansas City, did you ever see him throw 102 miles an hour once?
No, I never did. Now, I mean, look, if I were to pick a guy out of a lineup who seems like he'd be fine doing steroids and then dealing with the consequences later, probably be Chapman. Does not seem like Aroldis Chapman is all that good of a dude. A lot of the publicly available info about him does not paint him in the best light. And I guess if there's a time to start doing it, it's when you sign a 1-year deal, then you get traded, and your options are basically either signing a bunch of 1-year deals for the rest of your career, or if he puts it together, he's 35 years old, if he gets it all put together this year, you know, and is a really good bullpen asset in the playoffs for the Rangers, he could probably get one more, 3-year decent money contract. And, in terms of the risk reward, I kind of get it. I'm not endorsing it, but I do kind of get it.
I'm endorsing it, actually. So you have the Phillies tonight laying a run and a half, and you bought into that -210 with Nola over Tehran and the Brewers. I just don't understand it. They're a first-place team. They've been playing well. They've been scoring runs. They've been winning. They swept the Reds. Before that, they took 2 or 3 from them, and they're treating them in Philly tonight like they're in last place.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's really about Julio Tehran. He's been out of baseball since 2020. He's allowing a 40% hard hit rate. His strikeout rate is way down. It's the lowest point of his career, 17%. The last time we saw him, he was walking a ton of guys. His batting average on balls in play has been really low, so he's been getting lucky to get the run prevention that he's had thus far. He's got a run and a half difference between his ERA and his fielding independent pitching. I mean, really, it just comes down to I am trying to bet against Julio Tehran, because, I mean, he's allowed 6 and 7 earned runs in his last 2 starts, and I think that's pretty indicative of who he is at this point.
So Paul Skene's got $9.2 million signing bonus. So I guess I was right. I never thought for 1 minute that Dylan Cruz asking for a $10 million signing bonus was a stretch. I thought that both of them would get it. And when you're at 9.2, you're right in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that the days of these really high-end prospects getting less than what they're worth, it feels like it's almost kind of over. Like, if the Pittsburgh Pirates are not going to sign you to a below market deal, or a below slot deal, I guess is what it's called inside of baseball, then probably no one is going to get a below slot deal. I mean, I guess my Kansas City Royals are going to keep trying to do that, because they are. I mean, that's the most dysfunctional organization in baseball. They're even more dysfunctional than the Oakland Athletics, honestly, at this point. But it also, I mean, it does just feel like such a waste for a team like the Pirates to have that first pick and not take the best overall player, which they did. I mean, they did take the #1 overall player. And I really hope that we get to see Paul Skene's pitch in the major leagues next year, because it feels like he's pretty ready.
I'd like to see him pitch in September. Forget about next year. They signed him. Like, let's see what he's made of. You got the Dodgers again tonight over the Orioles, even with Grove going.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the same thing. If I was sitting here making the odds with Tyler Wells on the mound, I just am not going to make the Baltimore Orioles favorite. It's no disrespect intended to the Baltimore Orioles, who I think are honestly even more so than the Marlins or whatever. I think, and actually even more so than the Reds, who really have been scuffling. I think they're the story of the season, but the Dodgers are just too good. All their young pitchers are good. Grove, Sheehan, it doesn't matter. I guess Sheehan wasn't that good last night, but they're all pretty good. The bullpen is really good. Their hitters are all really good. Like, the Dodgers are now what the Yankees used to be. No one cares about the Yankees anymore. No one's scared of the Yankees, but the Dodgers are the evil empire now.
So you're going with the Marlins over the lefty Montgomery in St. Louis, and you're going with the rookie righty Wu in Seattle over the Twins.
Yeah, Edward Cabrera, one of these guys. I think he's got a super huge range of outcomes on any given start. He walks more guys than you would like to. Like, his walk rate is 14%. That's insane. That is so high. It's like the highest you can find for a starting pitcher who doesn't completely stink up the place. But starts, if you go through and look at the starts where he doesn't walk anyone or really only walks one or two, he pretty much shuts it down. And I'm trying to get on the other side of the Cardinals anytime they're favored by this much. The Cardinals, they absolutely stink. And Brian Wu, he's been treating me really good. 30% K rate, 6% walk rate. I'm not really a big Twins guy, not really a big Mariners guy either, but I think the market has just underrated Wu pretty consistently.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, Davis. Good stuff. We got the Giants-Reds picking up that game, 2-8 coming up here, top of the hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. We'll pick it up with the rest of these baseball games. I got to tell you, this Galchenyuk story is unbelievable. Not so much
the fact
that he threatened everyone's lives and said that he was going to have all the police officers killed when he got popped for drunk driving. He crashed his car. He was with his dad, and he's entered the NHL's program for alcohol and drugs today.
Right.
And he's sent a letter of massive apology to the police department, and he just ate it. I mean, this guy ate all of it, like the entire hoagie sandwich. He said he's a despicable, disgusting, repulsive human being. He embarrassed himself, his family, his wife, his kids, his dad, the Coyotes organization. He said he has to get sober and turn his life around and start from scratch and earn everyone's respect back. And someday, hopefully, they'll accept my apology. I know the Coyotes got rid of him immediately. What do you think happens to that guy? Obviously, the Players Association, you wonder if they're going to fight for him at all. Sounds to me like he had a really bad night when he drank too many drinks.
He had a real bad day. It sounds like it was a day that turned into a night. When you get that banged up, that sounds like it was an all day type of situation for Galchenyuk. But seriously, now they cut him loose. They only signed him 7 days before that for him to go out and play in Arizona. I think that he's doing the right things so that down the line, the Players Association will fight for him and say to obviously teams around the league and everything, look what he's done here. I mean, this is a guy who's showing you that he's remorseful, showing you that he wants to do the right steps. He's going into the program, and maybe that means that a year from now or whatever it is, the number, these things are different amounts of time for everybody, that he can get back into the league if he keeps himself on that right path after the, you know, that
he's a good player
that he had left. Look, I don't think that he's the player that he was, say, 5 years ago. I don't think it's good. I think there's a reason that he's been on, like four teams in 5 years, which is kind of what he's been working on. So I think that there's probably reasons for that. Could he be a helpful player, on a bottom six on a good team? Yeah, I think that he could. But he's got more important issues that he now has to get through. He's got to go take the time and do that. That's for sure. Let's finish off everything for tonight. We'll go to Baltimore, where, as you and Davis were just talking about, he does like the Dodgers tonight, who will bring Michael Grove against Tyler Wells. Dodgers, Orioles, -125. Dodgers now, Scotty, +105. 9.5 is the total at Camden.
Yeah, I don't see why Davis thinks Tyler Wells is so bad. He's 7-4 with a 3.1 ERA. I like his stuff. I'm still willing to bet him tonight, to be honest with you, at -125. I respect the Dodgers. I think Grove is a problem for me with, an ERA in the sixes. Let's see what they do. I know the Dodgers are dangerous. I know they beat them last night and stopped their 8-game winning streak. I'm still willing to bet on the Orioles.
I think the one thing about Wells, when you go a little deeper, is the home runs. The home runs are a problem for Wells. He's given up 21 homers this year, which is top five in the league. You're facing a team that, as we know, they hit a lot of homers with Betts and with Freeman and with Muncy and all these guys. So I think that might be where the correlation could be. The Guardians are in Pittsburgh again tonight. Mitch Keller. I don't even think we can call him Helen Keller anymore. He's been so good this year. Logan Allen
goes for the Guardians. The Pirates are minus 115 tonight with Keller. Minus 105 for Cleveland, 8.5 is the total.
Yeah, I still like Helen Keller tonight, and the Pirates seems like they haven't won in 2 months, so I am concerned. And I honestly do not think that Helen has been pitching well for a month. I think he's been back to his old self.
Back to his old self. Helen Keller, he remains. The Padres are in Toronto against the Blue Jays. Joe Musgrove and Alek Manoa, the pitching matchup tonight. The Jays, actually the Padres, Scotty, minus 135, road favorites in Toronto. Jays plus 115, flat nine. Boy, that is all about Alek Manoa, that line, right?
Well, it is, but look, I think the Jays are the play here based on their bats. They've been winning. They've been scoring a lot of runs. They've been hitting home runs. I don't care who's pitching. And I think the Padres suck. I mean, they're the most inconsistent team in baseball. And I don't care that Musgrove's pitching. I'm still on the Jays.
White Sox open a series at Citi Field against the Mets. Lucas Giolito against Carlos Carrasco tonight. Mets minus 135. White Sox plus +115. 8.5 is the total.
You know, like I said, I think the White Sox are awful. I don't care that they beat the Braves 2 out of 3. The Braves obviously had the lost weekend. But I still think... I'm not betting on the White Sox. I'm taking Carrasco and the Mets tonight at Citi. I think they both stink. I think the Mets beat them at home.
After the Giants and the Reds finish off that game from last night, they will play the regularly scheduled contest. Anthony DeSclafani and Dreamweaver Luke Weaver, with the fat 7 ERA and lots of homers given up, goes for the Reds. Giants minus 135, plus 115 for Cincinnati. An 11 spot as a total tonight out there.
Yeah, look, I think it goes over because both of these guys get torched. I still think the Giants, right now, that's the play. I think they're going to win that suspended game in the eighth inning. They got two on. I think they're going to win that game, and then I think they're going to win the nightcap.
The Diamondbacks have really been scuffling. They visit the Braves in Atlanta. Zach Davies and Bryce Elder, the pitching matchup there. Braves minus 185, plus 150 for the Diamondbacks. 10.5, another fat total in Atlanta.
Yeah, I laid the run and a half at minus 110. That's what it's at now. I love Elder tonight over Davies and Arizona. I think the Braves win big.
The Cardinals will try to make it 2 in a row against the Marlins with Jordan Montgomery going for them. Edward Cabrera goes for Miami. Cardinals minus 155, plus +130 for the Fish, flat 8 total.
I like Montgomery. He's been pitching great lately. He's going to go to 500 tonight with a win. His ERA is low threes. I think the Cardinals beat the Marlins again.
Nasty Nate Eovaldi for the Rangers tonight as they look to beat Tampa again. Taj Bradley will start for the Rays. Rangers minus 130, Tampa plus +110, 8.5 the total.
Yeah, I bet this game. I bet Texas again with Eovaldi, 10-3, ERA in the high twos. I think he's been brilliant. They're rolling right now. I'm going to stay on the train.
One of my favorite plays tonight is in the National Cub game. That's right, Scotty, the National Cub game. It's gas can night. Patrick Corbin and Jameson shots at Tyone. Right now, the Cubbies, minus 165, plus 140 for the Nationals. But I'm going up, up, up and away over the nine tonight with these two guys going. I know they've had some good starts over the past few weeks, but I'm looking for long balls tonight at Wrigley. I'm going over the nine.
Yeah, I like the Nationals again and the over.
Let's go. Let's get it. Detroit is in Kansas City again tonight. Scooble goes against Daniel Lynch, who's actually, considering how some of the Royal numbers look, he's been pretty decent. Tigers minus 175, plus +145 for Kansas City, flat 8 the total.
I got to tell you, I think Lynch is viable here and his 4 ERA. Scooble hasn't pitched. I mean, literally, the guy's pitched like one game. I mean, he's been out, right? Like, so I'm going to take a flyer at a buck and a half with the Royals.
The Astros are in Coors Field. I'm sure that they'll probably do a better job than the Yankees did there. Hunter Brown against Jake Bird to start this series. Astros minus 225. Rockies plus $1.80. 12 flat the total.
Yeah, again, an over here for me and the Astros.
The Red Sox are in Oakland again tonight against the Athletics. Luis Medina is going to go for the A's. The Red Sox are going to throw Joe Jocks out there, kind of in a little bit of an opener role. They're having all kinds of pitching problems, as we know, right now with their starters. But they are minus 210 again, plus 170 for the A's, 8.5 the total.
I'm laying a run and a half at minus $1.15. Boston's won 8 of 9. And funky cold Medina gets lit up every time he pitches. He's going to give up 8 to 10 runs himself. I like the over and the Red Sox.
Look, no matter who's throwing for them, like we said last night, the bottom line is the Sox bats are good right now. They're hot, and the A's suck. That's really all.
Did the A's strike out 17 times last night? 17.
Yeah, they had a rough night. The Yankees will try again in Anaheim with Domingo Herman. Patrick Sandoval goes for the Angels. Yankees minus 115 tonight. Angels minus 105. Flat 9 the total.
Yeah, I see it in some houses as a pick'em. I'm actually on Herman and the Yankees tonight to steal one. They'll get one and lose the last game of the series and lose the series.
And that's with tomorrow, Otani going for the Angels tomorrow in that final.
That'll be a loss.
Series,
so they'll win tonight with Herman. He's pitched great for a month.
The Twins and the Mariners again, the final one tonight in Seattle. Bailey Ober and Brian Wu, the starters in this one. Mariners minus 130, Twins plus $1.10, 7 flat the total again in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys have been great. I like the under and woo, Seattle.
Under and woo, there you go. That is your night in Major League Baseball. But before we go, we have tater time for you on a Tuesday, Scotty. In fact, a big tater time. We had to go 6 deep tonight because we like so many. I told you earlier in the show, we have a guy with 9 career homers against the starting pitcher tonight. It's our first guy, Bryce Harper, against Tehran. He is 19 for 47. That's 404 in his career with 9 homers off of Tehran. So plus 280 for Bryce Harper. Freddie Freeman against Wells. We said he gives up a lot of homers. Plus 475 for Freddie. Tatis Jr. off of Alec Manoah at plus 350. Matt Olson against the Diamondbacks and Davies at plus 250. Stanton against the lefty Sandoval for the Angels tonight at plus 280. And the big ball tonight, Scotty, is Ian Happ off of Patrick Corbin at Wrigley. Plus 5 bills for Happ to go yard there in Chicago.
Yeah, you're probably right about Harper, but he's got like one home run in 2 months. I know he was out with the, you know, forever and came back, but he finally broke his home run skid the other day.
Yep.
I have my reservations about the way he's been swinging. I like a lot of those other plays. Freeman, I love Olson every time you put him up there. I like Stanton because he's been hitting a lot of home runs lately. I'm willing to go there with you on Happ because Corbin's pitching. But I still think that team, just like yesterday, if you give that team a run and a half, I mean, they're going to win a lot of bets for you. They're more dangerous than anyone gives them credit for with their bats.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for Today in Carver High History.
It is. We'll start in 1962. The Twins, Bob Allison and Harmon Killebrew, both hit grand slams in the first inning. They scored 11 runs. How about that? 1970, Willie Mays becomes the 10th player in Major League history to get 3,000 hits. 82, Tom Watson wins his 4th British Open. One stroke over Peter Oosthuizen and Nick Price. Oosthuizen, Oosterhuis. 1983, despite being first place in the NL East, the Phillies fire manager Pat Corrales. After only being 43-42, they replaced him with GM Paul Owens. They went to the World Series, but they lost. 87, Don Mattingly, legend, ties the record of hitting a home run in 8 consecutive games into an empty bleacher in right field in Yankee Stadium. 1988, Seve Ballesteros wins his third British Open, 2 strokes. 93, the Shark, who everyone hates, Greg Norman, second British Open title. He beat Faldo. 94, Astros tie the NL comeback record. They beat the Cardinals 15-12. They were down 10-0. 94, the Jets sign USA Soccer goalie Tony Meola as a place kicker. How did that go? 99, Paul Laurie makes the biggest comeback in major championship history. 10 strokes down after the third round to win the British. 99, Yankees pitcher David Cohn. I remember this day. 15th pitcher in major league history to throw a perfect game against the hapless Montreal Expos.
Popped up and playable. Gracious.
There is nobody loved more on this Yankee ball club, despite the perfect game, than David Cone. He is the spokesperson for this ball club. Brian Cashman, the general manager, looking on. They respect him. They love him. And what a deal the Yankees made when they brought David Cone to New York Yankee Stadium.
But, 2004, Todd Hamilton wins his only major. Hamilton beat Ernie at the British. Louis Oosthuizen in 2010, and where Colin Morikawa 2 years ago today won the British.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.